Mr. Jim Spradley is a child of sharecroppers from South Georgia. He is a World War II veteran, a successful businessman, and a family man. There's so much we can learn from the generations of our parents and grandparents, but we have to take time and listen. As a former history teacher, I was enamored with the opportunities to use primary source documents, artifacts, and the spoken words and stories of those people who lived in the history I was studying and teaching. Mr. Spradley was 91 and 92 at the time of the interviews. His stories are fascinating and inspiring. The interviews were informal, sit-down discussions in Mr. Spradley's living room. There was not a script to be followed. He sat on his sofa and I was in a chair across from him. One of his dogs was on the couch with him. If you are a teacher, my hope is that you will be able to use Mr. Spradley's memories to help create engaging activities for your students. If you are a history buff, these talks are just what you are looking for. If you are a student, listen and learn from the lessons of life. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
This is the first episode I am talking with Mr. Jim Spradley. In this segment, Jim is talking about his childhood, his early formative years. As the interview begins, Jim is in the process of explaining that he feels like his story is not really that special and that he promised that he would never bore anyone with his story. Listen as he talks about trying to enjoy a beer alone when a World War I vet came up to him.
To have a beer. What? Just a minute, there would be an old fella from World War I would come up beside me and start telling me how he single-handedly won World War I. And nice. It was, you know, it bothered me so, because number one, I wasn't interested. Number two, I was concerned about my future. You know, I didn't really know whether I was going to make it back or not. It kind of homesick, had a whole bunch of stuff that I would just rather drink the beer and drown my troubles rather than listen to him talk about what he did. And actually, this was almost every week that I went on Liberty, this happened to me.
Oh, wow.
So I just promised the Lord, if he'd let me finish, I would never, ever let me come home, make it safely. I wouldn't bore anybody with my past. I wouldn't tell them how I won the war.
Well, I don't think none of this is going to be boring. So
okay.
So please don't think that that's what it is.
And, okay.
What I'd like to do is just kind of get you to talk about a couple of things first, and just some background. Now, you go by Jim's
right,
and Spradley is how you say your last name.
Yeah, Spradley is my last name, right? Okay. Now, when I grew up with my family, I was Bud, and that, okay. So they call me Bud. But at school, I was Watson, because my middle name is, my total name is James Watson Spradley. And so my folks call me Watson, and Watson was my mama's last name.
Nice.
So, and they just call me Watson. And in school, Bud was so common with everybody that They call me Watson.
Oh, nice. So you're 93?
1923 I was born.
Born in 23?
Right.
And where did you grow up in?
In Dooley County, Pinehurst.
Pinehurst, Georgia.
Yeah, and it's about population of about 500, and I'm guessing today it's probably less than that.
Wow.
Because I don't think it's possible to buy a loaf of bread or, you know, the town is just dried up.
Gotcha. You are now... you're
93? 91. I'll be 92 in November.
Gotcha. So tell me a little bit about growing up in Dooley County, Georgia. What did your family do? What were they?
Well, my daddy was a sharecropper, and that was pretty much common for the whole area. As growing up, I can remember as we traveled through the county, you would see a certain piece of property, and my parents would say, you know, that so-and-so insurance company had taken over that. This was really in the depths of the Depression.
As sharecroppers, what type, so did you work with them? At what age did you start working with them?
Well, I was, as I was coming up, my daddy used me as fast as I was able to help with doing whatever I could do. Early on, the first things you could do is, there was a big piece of equipment that one mule pulled. We called it a weeder, and it would scratch the ground, you know, and break up the soil. And little jobs like that that you couldn't do much damage with. But pretty soon, as you got to be able to plow, then, you know, I had a mule, and I was responsible for the day's work with the mule.
Wow. And so about how old were you when you first started working with that mule and so forth?
I would say I had to be in the third or fourth grade. Okay. Now, but there was always something you could do, and you learned chores from the very beginning. There was work to do on the farm. As a, for instance, it's kind of, I don't know whether it's hard to explain or not, but as I grew older and left home, every Sunday evening I felt real guilty because I felt like I should go home and start doing the work that right. The chores that I was supposed had been assigned to. It was just human nature, you know, to feel that you shouldn't have Sunday off. But early on, you had to come in and you had to get the firewood ready for the kitchen stove and the stove for the fireplace where the family, you know, sat around. We used for heat. We didn't have a furnace or anything. We did an open fireplace.
And so you had an open fireplace. Did you have indoor plumbing or?
No indoor plumbing at all at that particular point in time. We had to go out in the yard or use we brought in a, what we call a chamber pot.
Yes.
And we used that during the night. And then in the morning, we took that back out, washed it out, and got it ready for the next night.
When you went to school, what ages did you go? I mean, what was the school building like? What was the school like itself? Did you have to walk someplace or did you go by bus? Or?
Yeah, we, my beginning of school is a little bit complicated, but let me explain it this way. When I first started school, we went to a two-story school. It was a brick school. And incidentally, when I was the last class to graduate from that building, because WPA was Works Progress, you're familiar with
yes.
Roosevelt's program,
yes.
And they built us a decent school that fit the number of people. But early on, I was in, of course, in the first grade. They didn't have kindergarten for me, and we only went 11 grades. But my mother was a teacher. Now, she didn't graduate from college, but she did graduate from high school. And my daddy, he went probably through the third grade. And they were anxious for me to do as well as there were four of us. And they pushed us to do the best we could in school. But I started off, and I really enjoyed it. I'm left-handed.
Okay.
And at some point in time, they decided that I needed to switch to become right-handed.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know whether it was immediate. I don't remember. I remember them switching me. But I remember the difficulty I had. And I started stuttering. Huh. And then I dreaded to go to school. I just would have quit in a minute. And Mama had us. We walked about a mile and a half up the road through town to get to the schoolhouse. And Mama would have to spank me with a switch, you know, till I got about a half a mile up the road and left home. And I would holler back, you know, Mom, I love you, I love you. And she said as I grew older, you know, that she would, if something had happened to me during that time, but that it seems that there was a family doctor that they took me to, and somehow or another he found out that they had switched, and he said, let's switch him back. And immediately like that, I quit stuttering. Wow. So I really got back into school in a big way. By that I mean I just loved it. But during the time that I was stuttering, you know, my daddy would take me to school occasionally with a Model T Ford, and he would push me out of the car, and I would go around back and hold on to the spare tire on the back of the car, and he'd have to get some of the big boys to hold me while he drove away. That it was just that bad that I hated school.
Wow.
And but we worked through that, and then.
So and this is in that, like third and fourth grade level.
No, it was first and second.
First and second.
Yeah.
So the actual going to school, was it a one room schoolhouse where it was all ages?
No. It was a it had a hall down. It was a fairly modern building. Okay. It had a hall down the winter, the center of the building, and there were school rooms on both sides, and the principal's office was in one of the corners. I can remember that.
Did you have so kind of once they let you be left-handed, school became okay for you again?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
And so, do you have any fond memories of a teacher or two from that time? Or,
well, the only thing I can remember at all is that dreaded. The teacher came by one day. They had given us some assignments for us all to write down. And when the teacher came by my desk, she saw what I had done and held it up, you know, and said, geez, class, look what Watson did. And, you know, it was fairly decent work, but I had done it with my left hand. And I felt guilty, you know, that here I was sailing under false colors. Because I had told her, I don't remember specifically doing so, but I had told her that, must have told her, that I had written that with my right hand.
Gotcha.
Because they were anxious for me to switch. I don't remember any other occasion. I'm guessing that they were probably, there was 25 in my graduating class. And there was 12 in my sister's graduating class, and there was 14 in my brother's graduating class. So that gives you just about what you could expect. I think my graduating class was one of the bigger ones that we had had. And what happened was in the eighth grade, that was considered high school. They traded, they closed up some country schools and brought them all into Pinehurst High School. And so that put my class at a fairly big level, and we hadn't leveled off again.
What type of studies did you have? Did you have? I mean, every day did you do math and writing?
The homework was. I don't remember that being difficult at all. I always had that done before I left school. So consequently, when I got home, I didn't really have to study much. It was a little difficult because you had to study before dark because we didn't have any electric lights.
Wow.
And the kerosene lamp was didn't really throw off a big glow of a lot of light.
That would make it interesting in itself, a challenge to get that work done.
Yes.
You definitely wouldn't put it off, would you? So tell me about when you, at the end of the day, the school day, and you go home, did you go to help in the...
Well, I didn't for the first 2, 3, 4 years, but then after that I begun, then there were certain things that once I got home, I had to do, like, you know, make sure the horse trough had washed out and fill it back full of fresh water. We had to draw that out of the well. And we had a deep well with a bucket on each end, and you know, with a windlass at it, you wound up and you would bring it to the top, and we had a pipe. It was the closest thing we had to running water. You know, we right. poured it in this half of a barrel, and it had a drain pipe that ran on out to the barn underneath the road. Now, there was no power to it except just gravity that you know, pulled it out, and we had to fill up the trough and then fill up the horse trough.
In the book that your daughter made, there's a picture of you with, I think it's in front of a school, like with all the school kids, and I think you may be wearing overalls. Do you know?
Oh, yes, that was on the steps of the, that was when we started the eighth grade. Now, my daughter indicated, you know, that I was the only one that had, you know, had on overalls and was barefoot. That really wasn't typical or didn't have any real meaning of our social standing. Okay. Because back at that age, that we, the young boys, we, the first one that could take off his shoes or his winter underwear, you know, he was kind of a hero.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I had shoes at home.
Gotcha.
But I didn't wear any long pants until I probably had my first pair, and they were hand-me-downs from some of my relatives in the seventh grade.
Gotcha. So what types of things did you do for fun?
Well, we basically, we had a, my brother and I, we, as I say, we lived on a farm, and just about everything we had to make. And we had some tools out there in what we called our workshop, with an anvil and a vise and things like that that we could tinker with and try to make for ourselves. At one time we bought a goat, and we tried to train him with a little cart that we had made.
Nice.
And you know, we sawed a log about so big, and used that for wheels. And it worked real good until we ran it into the water, and then the log swelled up, and the wheels wouldn't turn. But the goat, we never were able to successfully control the goat, so that didn't work very well. But things like that, we just used what we had.
Nice. So kind of getting back to what, so your parents worked this farm, and did they were working, a part of what they raised went to the owner of the land that they rented from, is that?
Yes. In other words, the owner of the land pretty well furnished the money.
Gotcha.
And certain things, and the mules, I don't remember just exactly how it broke out, but he owned the mules and the farm and the plow tools. And we furnished, my dad furnished the labor. And and to start with, I didn't have any jobs to do during, I don't know whether you're familiar with the Unadilla Pinehurst or not, but we grew up when I was born, my first memories was of a one-horse farm. Now, we called them horse farms, and the only reason I asked my dad once, why were they called horse farms when we didn't use horses? We used mules. And he told me, and this had to have some logic, but it wasn't really, that the horses had really big hooves, and the mules had little small hooves. And the mules didn't trample up the crop like the horse did. Now, whether that was really the truth or not, but that was what he told me. And it is some logic to that. All right, now that was a one-horse farm, and my dad did all the work with the mule. And then, I guess at that time, my sister and brother, there were three of us, so my dad needed to improve his condition. And the fellow that owned the farm that we worked had three or four of those. So he had the next move up was a four-horse farm, which really was four mules. And it really took four hands. And that's what we call the people who who did the work, you know.
Gotcha.
My dad wasn't a hand, but I was. And the guy that we had, a black family who lived on a farm. And dad, to my knowledge, at that particular time, never had a bank account. And he would then, at the end of the week, he would tell or the month, I don't know how often he did it, I never was involved. But my daughter had a ledger of how he kept track of what he borrowed from the guy, Mr. Haslam, who owned the place, what he got from him, and what he then extended to the black family. About every year, the black family would either move another one would come on.
Gotcha.
So we played with the little fellows that were black on the place.
So what types of crops, that you said that you guys made, your family made?
Cotton. Cotton was number one. I mean, that
was... That's what I was asking.
It, during the Depression, you know, just about everybody grew cotton. And, of course, the market for cotton had really just gone out of the cellar, I guess. It was five-cent cotton. I don't know whether there used to be a song or something about five-cent cotton, but you just couldn't make it with 5 cents. You grow it and work it unless you just had, you know, you'd done it all yourself. You couldn't afford any really luxury with 5 cent cotton. But we picked it and took it to the gin and ginned it into, took the seed out, and put it in big bales. I guess you've seen those.
Yes, that's what I was just getting ready to ask you, is if you picked it and then took it someplace.
Yes, to the gin. And then they would give us a tag and a receipt. And Daddy would bring it home and give it to Mr. Haslam. So he did the bookkeeping, and at the end of the, well, we grew corn, but the corn was mostly not for sale. It was for feed.
Gotcha.
And we used, you know, corn ourselves for grits, cornbread, and that sort of thing. So when we needed to, go to the mill, we'd take some corn and. Bring it back, and same way with wheat and flour. We grew just about everything, and about the only thing we really bought, Steve, was you know, salt and pepper and a few spices, and that was about it.
If you did buy food stuff like that, did you go into town to buy that, or was there, did you have like a, did
when,
the
when
owner
buy,
of the land
now when you it? Wait a minute, now when you, you said when we bought what?
Like if you did get like salt and pepper.
Oh, yeah, we had to go to town to get that, yeah. Now, it wasn't really necessary because back then there was, and I can recall how sweet or how different the trunk of the car, but they were, I guess you would call them drummers, but they were fellows that had, you know, trying to make it themselves, had a trunk load of spices and things like that.
Oh, okay.
You had, there was several different brands like Watkins and at the moment I can't recall any others, but they would, and when they opened the trunk and Mom would go out there, you know, and we didn't have any money, and he would take a chicken or in the trade, you know, we would, or he'd let us have it on credit till he come around, and he came around about every 3 or 4 weeks. But I finished the story about coming home after school. But you know, the house around the house is full of chores. You little things you had to do.
Yes. Like
bring in the firewood. You know, get it ready for in the morning, and all the animals had to be fed. The hogs and the cow had to be milked, and. I never did learn how to milk. My brother was he milked, and I had to do something else for him. I don't remember what it was.
What? So did you chop down the trees also to make the firewood?
Yeah. Well, now we didn't chop down the trees. The grown folks had done that. That was
gotcha.
We sawed it up with a cross cut saw. That's one that, you know, saw on both ends. You pull it back and forth. We cut that up, but the big heavy work the dangerous work was done by the grown folks. And we took advantage of the season, you know, like now with blueberries, blackberries, that you pick those wild. And
did anyone grow them, or did you?
Yeah, well, no, there wasn't any real wild market because there was no way to deliver them.
Gotcha, okay.
But
did you have a favorite food then?
Favorite what?
Food.
Food.
Yeah, something you look forward to have that was a treat.
We killed our hogs, and every now and then we would we'd kill a cow, and of course a cow was bigger, and you didn't really have any way to keep it cured, so you would share it with the neighbors, and they in turn would when they killed one, you know, they would pay you back and swap it. See, if it wasn't really all that bad, but it was, you know, sometimes you wonder how we made it. I don't believe I was ever inside a hospital until I was 20 or something, and we had one doctor, and you had to go to town to see him.
Did he do, me and the doctor, did he also do dental work? Or
he had a buggy, and I guess he made house calls, but I don't remember him ever making house calls for us. We were reasonably healthy, I guess.
I think that would be definitely a blessing to be healthy.
Though. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and hosts. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends. Take care.